Welcome to the Jersey Rain Hour. I am Adrian Cotton, and here is your host, Chris O'Mealy.
Thank you guys for tuning in once again to the Jersey Rain Hour. As always, I am Chris O'Mealy. This is going to be our lucky 13th episode, so I'm really looking forward to this one. I got a special guest lined up for you guys, my old buddy Jonah Moore, who worked in hotels with me, and he's got some fantastic stories to tell. I'm going to let you guys know right now, this episode is not safe for work. Everybody got that? Parental advisories. No one under the age of 18 should be tuning in. Not that I think anybody under the age of 18 is tuning into the show anyway, but seriously, guys, this is a very, very swear-laden episode, but I don't want Jonah to censor himself. I want him to tell all these stories exactly the way they should be told. So please enjoy, and the content, I think you guys are going to really enjoy the content that you're going to hear. Again, he's a cool laid-back guy. He's going to just tell some stories, and we kind of just shoot the shit. There you go. There's your first swear. To let you guys know, this is not appropriate. So stay tuned. My interview with Jonah coming up next. And yes, as I've already mentioned before, this episode is not going to be safe for work, so hide your children, because I'm talking to my dear friend Jonah.
Hello, world.
Yes, Jonah is broadcasting live from another time zone, because he abandoned me on the East Coast.
But, you gotta get up and pack up and move your shit sometimes.
Exactly. So, Jonah and I have a very... very unique common bond, and I'm not talking about our love for Alice in Chains. I'm talking about the fact that we both come from the wacky world of hotel front desk employment. So, let's inform my listeners all about the wacky world of working in hotels. But you have some slightly better stories than I do, because although we met in a mid-sized hotel... you have since gone to work in a much more lower-end hotel, which we won't say the name of it, but you can tell us a little bit about it if you like.
All right, so as Chris stated, I work in a slightly less than appropriate hotel for the modern person. My second day of work there, just for an example, I had someone try to check in, and he still had a tourniquet on his arm. And did not understand why that was not acceptable at our hotel. And that's pretty much, you get like two or three of those people a shift. Not the best of situations, but it does lead to interesting stories.
Oh, yes. Now, before the hotel that we met at, I worked at a hotel that in its heyday was probably a big deal, but... had really gone to hell and back, and I've got some, I've met some very questionable people there. But tell us a little bit about some of your favorite stories from, the lovely seedy underbelly of the hotel world. And not for nothing, guys, but, like, we're not saying that, like, we're not gonna sit here and say that hotel work is glamorous or anything like that, but it's not that bad of a gig, because you meet the most interesting people, and I'm not talking about that lovely foreign family on vacation. Tell us some of your favorite moments.
Well, my current favorite moment actually happened last night. It didn't involve a guest, but it was possible because of the people that I work with. So pretty much our third shifter, backstory to it, about a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago, he got robbed. He wasn't at the desk. I guess the guy who robbed him had his friend call, say that there was a problem upstairs. He left. The dude came in and stole the drawer. It's pretty shaken up about that. So last night, me, the maintenance guy at our hotel, who actually built the hotel I work at, which is even crazier, and his buddy, which I will not name, obviously, we decided to go fuck with him. We were really bored once I got off work. Me and the maintenance guy's buddy, we pulled over into the parking lot of the hotel next door. Maintenance guy's buddy called the front desk and said, "Hey, we work at the hotel across the street. It looks like someone's setting off fireworks by your dumpster." So the third shifter was like, oh shit, okay. So he's walking out. He goes to check the dumpster. And the funny part about this moment was he looked around the corner. There was clearly nothing going on in the dumpster. Yet he still walked over and peeked his head inside. While that was happening, the maintenance guy ran in, took the cash drawer, left the drawer open so the third shifter would see it was gone. He hid in another room of the hotel. And part of our ordeal, because of the part of town that we work in and all the shit that goes down, you call the maintenance guy first before the cops, because normally when you call the cops, they end up arresting half of our hotel, and that just kind of kills your clientele. So me and my maintenance guy's friend, as we saw the third shifter walk back in, we decided to like drive around the side of the building to see his reaction. He's just staring blank at this empty drawer. We see him pick up the phone. And at this point, it did not cross our minds like, hopefully he doesn't call the cops. We didn't think about any of that. Thankfully, he called the maintenance guy. While he's in the other room, the fact that he could not hear him on the phone was making me laugh hysterically. So he tells him what happened. Our maintenance guy's like, well, go the fuck outside. See, they're still out there. I'm on my way. He hangs up. Zach comes running outside past our car and doesn't see us. Maintenance guy at this point runs back to the cash drawer and puts the cash back in it, closes the drawer, runs out the back. We go around to pick him up. And 2 minutes later, we pull up acting like, you know, we just came from somewhere else. And third shifter's like, the money's fucking gone. I got robbed again, dude. Like, why the fuck does this always happen to me? And the maintenance guy's like, well, stop leaving the fucking front desk. And he opens the drawer. And he's like, why the fuck did you call me here? Third shifter's like, what are you talking about? The cash is right here. And the look on the third shifter's face was so priceless, we all just started dying laughing. Because he had no idea what the fuck just happened.
That's a really good prank.
It was the funniest shit that I've done in a long time.
That beats the prank I pulled on my old coworker at my last hotel, where we moved his car because he wouldn't stop leaving his keys on my desk. But the only reason that story was funny was because after we moved his car, he, for a split second, thought it got towed. Because we didn't realize he was like 3 months behind on his payments. So our little practical joke led to a full-fledged panic attack. But the best part is, of all the people he could have blamed, he never blamed me. And I'm the one that did it.
That is the best prank to pull when you know you can't be blamed.
Yeah, he literally blamed everybody in the room but me. Then he looks me in the eye. And I'm like, I can tell you that none of them did it. And then he went and blamed our boss. I'm like, no, that wasn't him either. But I let him in on the secret like 4 hours later on the shift.
Oh, I was going to say, I was wondering if you told him.
After I saw him again, I'm like, oh, did you figure out who moved your car? Yeah, it was the boss. No, it was me, you idiot. Now, what did we learn from this? He goes, I wouldn't have expected that from you. I'm like, and that's why I did it. We also once taped his paycheck to the ceiling, and he was really losing his mind that his paycheck wasn't there.
Oh, God. I would have been so pissed.
But you know what? He was one of those guys who kind of deserved it, because one time I'm walking – this is before I started at the front desk at this hotel, but I was doing banquet setup, and I'm walking by the desk, and the front desk girl goes, oh, hey, this is for you, and she hands me a cardigan. And I look at it, I'm like, why are you giving this to me? She goes, it's yours. And I'm like, is this like a lost and found item? If this is a lost and found item, I'm supposed to give it to you. Why are you giving it to me? Like, I don't keep lost and found items. And then I see my buddy sneaking around the corner with this look on his face. He goes, no, it's yours. Get it? Because it's a women's sweater. And I look at him, I go, if that's your idea of a prank, that's why people move your cars and tape your paychecks to the ceiling, you idiot.
You know, it's funny about the whole moving the car thing. Hey, this is completely not hotel related, so don't mind me. But so in high school,
oh boy.
Our one gym teacher, he always left his car unlocked. But, you know, he always had the keys on, but always left it unlocked. And we were doing what's called like geocaching or whatever, you know, where you use like the compass or whatever to find the treasure or some shit.
Yeah.
So while he's like monitoring the fields or whatever, me and a couple of my friends that were in my gym class opened up his car, threw it at neutral and pushed it to the other side of the parking lot, and we watched him at the end of the day freaking the fuck out trying to figure out where his car was. But we got caught and got detention.
Oh.
But it was great. It was totally worth watching him lose his shit, though.
All right. So, now I got to ask you, because you work in these lovely low-end hotels, how bad is the drug problem?
Oh, dude. Okay, so it is absolutely terrible, and this is going to sound, like, weird to most people, to anyone who's listening, but so we have a lot of regulars that are from the town that I work in. Obviously, they're to do drugs or some shit, because why else would you stay at a hotel in your town, you know? And we always have the drug dogs come in, like, once a week, especially because I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, they busted someone. They were smoking pot in the room. We were having problems with them for a while. They got in the room and they found, like, 50 bags of coke that they were selling out of there or some shit. But now, once we get to know the regulars, if they don't cause problems and they're just smoking weed in the rooms, or, you know, they're just drinking a fuck ton, when the dogs come in and start going upstairs, we call all the rooms the regulars are in and just tell them to not answer the door.
That's a good idea.
But literally, it is more rare to have a guest come in and not do some form of drug. It's really sad, and it's, you know, because, like, pretty much, like, the whole hotel, like, the upstairs is supposed to be the smoking rooms, downstairs is supposed to be the non-smoking rooms. It is just turned to do because so many people smoke in the non-smoking rooms, like, when all those are sold out, that we have literally just stopped charging people for smoking in the rooms because they just reek of cigarettes regardless.
Gotcha. You know, it's funny, too, because the brand of hotel that you work at, I've actually stayed in one before, and it was just, like a random, like, overnight, I was driving back from northern PA back to Lancaster, where I live, and, you know, it's just like, oh, it's raining really bad. You know what? I just don't feel like doing the drive tonight. And there was one on the side of the road, and I'm like, oh, people stay in this. It's supposed to be really affordable, and it was a really cheap room. It wasn't that bad, but I also can kind of see it, like, even in this one. So I think it's a thing that just is widespread throughout these low-end hotels. But then, I'm talking to you shortly after you left, because I remember I worked a night audit one night, and you don't sleep. That's, like, a thing.
Oh, hell no, dude. I'm running off, like, 2 hours of sleep the past 2 days combined.
Yeah. And I remember one time I was on audit, and I had to text you about something. For those of you guys who don't know, I actually used to be his manager. This is a true story, and man, the phone calls I would get from you were some of my favorites. But I remember I had to tell you something. It was like 4 a.m. or something, and I was covering the second half of audit because my GM was actually covering the first half. And he goes, "Hey, see if Jonah will like come in early or something." I'm like, "Okay." So I shoot you a text at like 4:15 a.m. Like, "Hey, any chance you're awake?" And like the iPhone bubbles like pop up immediately that you're writing a text back. I'm like, "Yep." I didn't even know why I bothered asking. I should have just texted you.
Dude, I still won't get over the time though that I had to call you about the umbrella flying away.
Yeah, so I want to tell everybody about this. So here's the thing, guys. Jonah was a really good worker to have on staff because he was laid back and nothing ever got to him. And that's what made this story so funny to me, was how you called me. So we had a really bad summer storm roll through. And generally, if a storm's rolling through, we had an outdoor pool at this hotel. The instructions are just go out there real quick, tell everybody to get out of the pool, shut down the umbrellas, and monitor the weather. That was pretty much it. But this storm hit so fast, you didn't have a chance. Because I remember this storm hit fast.
Oh, yeah.
So I get a phone call from you. And I'm like, and you're like, "Hey, buddy, the umbrellas blew away." Come again? "Yeah, the umbrellas blew away. So what should I do?" Like that's exactly how you said it, too. Just like, you were kind of giggling, too. But you're just like, "Yeah, the umbrellas blew away. What should I do?" I'm like, well, there's no point going out looking for them now if the storm is really bad. And you're like, "Well, one of them's in the pool along with, like, all the furniture." I'm like, "All right, well, I can't do anything about that, so." And I think you found one, like, outside the gates to the pool, and then the other one was across the street at the Subway we had across the street from the hotel. Which I was impressed by that because that was a really heavy umbrella, and that could have damaged somebody's car pretty badly.
Yeah, no, I actually didn't. I call you back a second time to let you know it was at Subway.
Yeah, you're like, hey, the umbrella's at Subway.
Like, I'm trying to remember. I can't remember if I called you or Troy. Something tells me I had to have called you the time that it was like a fucking rainforest in the men's bathroom downstairs because of the dipshit upstairs when I told him to turn off the water.
Yeah, I don't think you called me for that one, but I remember hearing about that. There was just a waterfall in our downstairs men's room because the upstairs was a guest room and the guy flooded his bathroom.
Okay, no, but here's the thing. All right, that's not even the best part. Okay, so I'm checking in like a line of guests. I want to say it was like a weekend. We were pretty busy. And this guy, you know, I got a phone call from a guy while I was trying to check someone in. I was like, hi, thank you for, you know, calling said place. Can you please hold? Doesn't, you know, half the time those people don't fucking listen to that. He's like, hey, my toilet overflowed. I was like, all right, yeah, I'll be up in a minute when I'm done checking this guy. And he's like, okay. And then I had more people come in, so I couldn't go up right away. I get another phone call right away. Hey, yeah, it's like really starting to overflow. I was like, all right, yeah, I'll be up in a minute. Like, sorry, I got busy. And he's like, all right, no big deal. Get a third phone call from this dude. I'm starting to get pissed as fuck at this guy. And he goes, hey, there's like a little bit, like, there's probably like a half inch of water on the floor. I'm like, all right, no big deal. I was like, just turn off the water. He's like, all right, I'll do that. I'm checking another guy, and this dude comes fucking running around the corner, front desk, and he's like, no, you got to come with me right now. I was like, and I thought it was the guy in the room who was calling me. And I was like, dude, I told you I will be up when I'm done checking these people in. And he's like, no, like, it's the bathroom. I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, dude, it's like raining in there. So I abandoned the desk. I open up the men's bathroom, and it is literally like a torrential downpour in there. So I go back to the front desk. I tell the guy I'll be back in a minute. I go up to this guy's room, and when I said, like, the guy said that, you know, there was a little bit of water there. You, like, probably like for like three
indoor
rooms,
swimming pool.
Yeah, and for like three rooms next to him, you, like, when you were stepping on the carpet down the hall, it was just, you know, that like weird sound it makes when carpet's
yeah.
wet when you step
yeah, yeah,
on
yeah.
it. I open up the door and I look in his bathroom, and there's like 3 fucking inches of water on his floor. And I looked at him, and I was like, I thought you said there was a little water. And he goes, oh, well, it kind of got worse. I was like, you didn't even shut the water off.
Really?
He's like,
it got worse?
And I was like, why the fuck didn't you shut the water off? And he's like, oh, well, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. And then I brought him downstairs. I showed him the men's bathroom. He's like, oh, I didn't realize that would happen. And that stupid motherfucker, like, I've never wanted to hit a guest. So if it wasn't for the fact he was like 70 years old, I probably would have clocked the shit out of that dude.
I'm very grateful you didn't hit him, so I didn't have to write you up or worse for that.
If all you did was write me up, I'd be impressed.
Yeah, you know what? I probably would have been too.
Well, that was like that. That was the time that lady, remember, there was a bug in her room, and like I left, and I lost the bug, and I was like, oh yeah, whatever, I'll come back for it. And then I just left work.
Oh, yeah. A lot of those stories, too. My other favorite phone call from you was the time you called me. You're like, all the guests are complaining that the TV's not working. I'm like, that's because there's a freaking thunderstorm on top of us and we have satellite TV. Tell them to hold themselves for 15 minutes, and I promise the signal will come back. And I go, and don't you dare discount anybody because a thunderstorm knocked out the satellite dish temporarily.
I'll say working at a nicer end hotel like we did, definitely is a lot better than putting up with half the shit I deal with here. But I'll have to admit, guests at my hotel don't complain about shit.
That is true. And, like, I currently work for a very high end hotel, very nice hotel at that too. And the complaints I do get are usually the very high-end type complaints. Something's not good enough. I literally had a complaint just this week that the blanket wasn't fluffy enough. Like, that's the type of complaint I get. But I've also worked at a hotel where the complaints were legitimate. When they said their air conditioning wasn't working in the room, the building was so old that I knew for a fact their air conditioning was not working. I also knew there was nothing I could do about it. So that was always a good time to just discount everything under the sun.
Also, I think my favorite, like, I actually had a comp the room. It was, like, one of those few people that were, like, actually, like, decent human beings and not, like, drug addicts or whatever.
Yeah.
So our housekeepers are shit-awful. Like, they're, like, pretty much so the owner, the housekeepers that we have, they're from India, like, they're related to the owner and all that stupid bullshit or whatever. And this guy comes down. He's like, I need you to come into my room, like, right now. I was like, okay. So I went there, and there was a fucking used needle in the middle, like under the bed sheets.
Wow.
So those are the kind of complaints I get.
That's legitimate complaint.
I know.
Very.
I tried joking around with him. I was like, hey, at least you don't have to go buy one now, but that didn't fly.
Yeah, that was an actual, like, an actual guest that just needed a room and got that wonderful experience.
Yeah, that was... Okay, so, like, another funny, like, I'm actually pretty sure you can look it up, like, not, like, hotels.com reviews, but, you know, if you, like, type in a hotel on Google, it'll show you a picture. You can, like, look at Google reviews.
Yeah.
So I had this one manager. I'm going to give him a name. I'll call him Zeke.
Okay.
So he was a black dude, probably like your height, pretty muscular dude, a lot of tattoos, like he had, you know, like the shaved like side of his head with like the like, kind of like faux hawk on top, but he had like the lines shaved into the side of his head too. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And I wasn't working this day, but I heard some shit went down. No one told me what happened. I went on Google reviews one day, and I'm reading what happened, and they're like. It's surprisingly, like, somehow, I don't know if people are making fake reviews from, like, our own employees, but we somehow have, like, a 3.5 stars on Google. I don't fucking know how.
All your regulars just love you guys.
Oh, yeah, of course, because, like, hey, you want to shoot up your hair? Yeah, fucking go for it, dude. But, yeah, so I'm reading this review, and it's got, like, a half star. And it said, don't listen to these reviews. It's all fucking bullshit. Like, there's no way these are real. And then he goes to describe before the complaint even begins. It's like this huge ass paragraph. The manager, his name is Zeke, and then, you know, his last name. He's a black gang member with gang tattoos all over him. He's got like a shaved side of his head, thinks he's tough shit. There was like, I forget what they said was like clogging the toilet, but it had something to do with like drug paraphernalia. And they're like, and he came upstairs and started laughing, and they were like, why is it so funny? He's like, well, do you understand where you are? This is, like, typical. If you have a problem with it, go the fuck down to, you know, the city down the road. And then apparently the one kid who was, like, I think they said was, like, 13 years old, like, her teenage son or whatever, he, like, tried defending his mom or whatever, and our manager proceeded to call him a pussy, like, to his face, and even, like, pushed the kid back onto the bed and then stole their credit card information. And then they proceeded to say, because there was this other girl that was, like, working in the morning, which, speaking of which, they ended up staying the night regardless. I don't fucking know. But they showed up the next morning, and they were going to complain to her. And then the rest of their complaint is about, yeah, the only white person I even saw that place was ratchet as fuck, and I'm pretty sure she had an STD.
Damn.
It was the greatest complaint I think I've ever read online.
That's amazing.
And the, yeah, and the best part is,
I
like,
don't envy your job at all. I just want you to know that.
I'm just saying, dude, like, I kind of miss working at, you know, where we did, like, that type of clientele. But I'm telling you, like, I have stories for days because of these idiots.
Yeah, didn't you say you have, like, your blacklist is, like, 40 pages long?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Like, and it sucks because more times than not, like, you only check it if they're really from in town or if you get, like, a really bad vibe from them. And I'm sitting there, especially because it's not even in alphabetical order at all.
So what's the point? How are you supposed to reference anybody?
That's what I'm saying. It's not in alphabetical order. It's just, like, they did it on, like, Excel or whatever, and it's just, like, by the date that they were added on it. So every fucking time someone comes to check in from my town, I have to flip through this like, fucking packet. And they're like, what are you doing? Oh, I just got to make sure you're not on the do not rent list. And they're like, that's pretty fucking huge. I'm like, yeah. So please don't add your name to this because you're just giving me more work. It's, Yeah, fuck that place, dude.
All right. So we talked about one of the operations that goes out of the hotel. How about the hookers?
Okay, so before I go into hookers, I'm going to tell you about my own kind of hooker-ish story there. She wasn't a hooker, but a one-night stand ordeal, whatever. She was a whore. But so there's this 40-year-old lady that came here with, I believe it was her daughter, and I think it was her boyfriend, I think. But regardless, the mom was – yeah, they were all staying in their own room, the same room actually at first. Yeah, and it was in the wintertime. It was cold as fuck. It gets really cold here. It snows a lot. I guess they got into an argument in their room. So the mom was like, fuck it, I'm going to go sleep in my car or whatever. And I went out there. She was having a cigarette or whatever. She was crying her eyes out or whatever. And we were pretty slow, so I was feeling nice, you know. I was like, all right, you know what, we're slow. Just take this room, go sleep in it. You're going to fucking freeze out here. She's like, oh, you're so sweet, whatever, blah, blah, blah. She goes into the room. She comes back out later for a cigarette. I'm outside having one. And we're talking. And, you know, guys, we have natural hand warmers known as balls. I was in a T-shirt, jeans. I was cold as fuck. I had my hands down my pants. And at some point, she made some comment you're going to need to start taking your hand out of your pants or you're going to get me aroused. And I was like, what? She's like, oh, nothing, nothing. I was like, okay, so I brushed it off.
And yeah, then she made ain't nothing.
Yeah, and then she kind of made another sexual comment. I forget what it was, but it was something along similar lines. And then eventually, long story short, the room I gave her was right next to the kids' room, her kids or daughter or boyfriend, whatever the fuck it was. And so I went back to her room with her. Originally, she was just going to give me a blowjob because, she has a husband back home, but he's, working or whatever. That's why he wasn't there. And then I ended up fucking her. And then this was at, probably, 5 in the morning. And I didn't realize, she didn't tell me when they had to go, to go start heading towards the college or whatever. So I get up. I go back to the desk after abandoning it for, 2 hours. While I'm on shift, and I see her daughter come into the lobby. She's like, have you seen my mom? She said she was going to sleep in her car. And again, I just got done defiling this woman. I was like, yeah, she left to go to the gas station. She's walking over there. So her daughter's walking out in this blizzard to go find her mom. So I send her that way. And I call up the room that she's in. I was like, your daughter thinks you're going to Casey's. Get the fuck in your car and go over there. And so they went over there. And then she comes back with her daughter or whatever. And then they're at breakfast and she's Skyping her husband on her phone, telling him how much she misses him and how she loves him and all that shit. And I literally just got done making her scream like a harpooned whale.
Oh my God. You are quite the character. You always were. And again, thank you for not doing that while you were working under me. I very much appreciate that.
You're welcome. But anyway, back to the whole hooker thing, though. So we actually had – this is crazy. We had, underage hookers staying at our hotel. They were, maybe 15 or 16. For, months on end, they would literally – how do I explain this? They would, go find these, older men, probably, 40s and 50s, real creeper status. They would take them up to the room. They'd fuck the shit out of them, both of them. They would pay for a room for a week, and then they would go about their making money phase, you know, sucking people's dicks and all that shit in their rooms, whatever the fuck they were doing. Yeah, and then they would I was literally watching them buy TVs. I remember one time they brought in I think it was an Xbox or some shit. They were always buying expensive ass food. They were getting people to buy them expensive ass alcohol, and then they just, you know, fuck another old creep that they met on Tinder or some shit. They'd pay for another week, and then the cycle kept repeating. Suck dick, fuck old man. Suck dick, fuck old man.
Hmm.
And it was it was the most disturbing shit ever. I understand it's their life, they can do whatever the fuck they want, but it was disturbing to me, watching these, 40 or 50-year-old men fuck these, 15, 16-year-old girls.
That's disturbing in a way.
In a way, the fuck? That's really disturbing, dude. And fuck. Okay, this is the best story I actually have from the hotel. It has to do with a porno. Oh, so, this was like my first week working there. I was getting trained or whatever. It was like towards the end of our shift. And this guy comes in, and he like pulls up in a van, him and this girl hop out. And this girl's like really tiny, like Jess tiny, you know, our good friend Jess, like that kind of build, but a little bit shorter. And so they get a room or whatever. I was like, yeah, you're upstairs, so you're left, whatever. And I put them like right next to someone's room because I try to like, especially when we're slow, I try to keep everybody like close to each other so the housekeepers can get their shit done fast. Mainly because I fucking hate them and want them out of there. But anyway, so they check into the room, and next thing you know, I'm looking at this van and I see like six other dudes pop out. It's like, okay, they're bringing their posse, whatever. Like they're gonna have a party. All right, sure, cool. They go up to the room. They ask where it is. I tell them where it is. Probably, like, and I didn't even, like, the one dude had a camera, and I didn't even think anything of it, to be honest. I was just like, it's fucking this place. It's weird. Like, 30 minutes later, I get a phone call from the lady staying next door to them. I don't know what the hell is going on in their room. I don't know if there's a girl getting raped or what, but it doesn't sound pleasurable. So I was like, dude, what the fuck? So I hang up. I went upstairs to the room. I knock on the door. And meanwhile, this lady hears me knock on the door, so she opens up her door and, like, peeps her head out. And the original dude who, like, got the room, he, like, slightly opens the door. And, like, he's, like, peeking through the crack. He's like, oh, hey, dude, what's up? I was like, yeah, I got a noise complaint. And this lady out of nowhere, no, that is not a noise complaint. I'm pretty sure there's a girl getting raped in there. I was like, oh, shit, okay. And this dude's like, no, dude, no, like, get her to go away. I was like, all right. So I told her to go back to her room. He's like, no, dude, we're not getting raped. And, like, he opens the door to show me. There's this girl butt-ass naked on the bed. There are six naked dudes around the bed, and there is a camera, like, staring at the bed. She was totally getting trained by six dudes, and he was filming it. So I had to move them all the way to the other end of the hall, and I was like, have at it. And then they didn't even stay the night. They come walking down, like, probably, like, 3 in the morning. I ended up having to stay because the next person didn't show up. And so they're walking out. Like, the six guys are walking out acting all cool. They didn't give a shit. They were acting normal. This girl comes falling behind them, makes one eye contact with me, and puts her head down in shame. I was like, all right.
Wow. I can honestly say that's never, ever happened at any hotel I've ever worked at. Man, I only have one actual hooker story, and I didn't even see the hooker. But it was like 2 days before Christmas at my lovely, could have been a high end hotel back in the day, was now a bottom barrel hotel. There was only like, and this hotel was huge. We had like 300 something rooms, but there were maybe only 4 or 5 occupied rooms this night. And this hotel, because it was desperate for guests, didn't do the whole you must have a credit card to check in thing. If they were going to pay cash, that was fine. And then they had to put like a deposit down for incidentals, which I always hated that, because this guy definitely had a declining credit card, which I remember distinctly. Real construction type guy comes in. He's like, I need you to put me in a quiet section of the hotel. Like, I'm trying to do something special here, and I want to buy some movies, because we had those types of movies at this hotel. And I'm like, well, without the credit card, you're not getting that. Sorry, buddy.
That's awesome.
He did not get his movies.
Quick note, I'm sorry to anyone listening to this right now, but you could probably hear me peeing. I apologize.
Going to try to ignore that and hope that wasn't what that was, but well, this will be the first podcast guest I've ever had where somebody peed on it. Although on my wrestling podcast, Club Kayfabe Wrestle Talk, my buddy Jason was a guest once, and he thought he muted himself, but he did not, and he announced to everybody listening on air as he was talking to his girlfriend that he's like, no, just open up the window, I'll just take a piss out of that. And we all kind of like stopped recording and reacted. He goes, wait, am I muted? And then we all started laughing hysterically. So that he definitely peed out of his window on air.
That's awesome.
He also recorded an episode with us once hungover and threw up on air. He did leave to go to the bathroom to do it, but while we were recording, he puked and then came back.
Well, to be honest, had we done this podcast like when I was back in Lancaster, I guarantee you I would have been in a very similar situation.
Well, there you go. All right. So I appreciate you staying on the air for that. It was a little awkward.
Hey, but, dude, like, you know how, like, you go to YouTube and people, like, when they're, you know, they're talking, they got to add, like, you know, those little, like, ring-dingy noises and stuff. So I was like, we don't got those. So, like, I got a really solid stream going right now, and I'm pretty hydrated. So I was like, fuck yeah, this is going to be, like, our little sound quality added to it. I was like, hell yeah, man. People now know, like, Jonah does not piss like a bitch. He's got a solid stream going.
Yeah, so everybody out there that was curious about that.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm happy to answer that for you. Oh, man, I can't wait for our friends to listen to this.
Oh, another fun fact, I can shit faster than I pee.
Okay, we're getting a little off topic here. I'm trying to tell my hooker story.
Yeah, carry on. Sorry about that.
No. So construction type dude, he gets his room. He does his little thing. I stick him far away because there's like this really nice family that's staying there. It's like two older women and then like four like really young girls, like probably like single digit age or like 11 or 12. And I just don't want this guy anywhere near these people because they're here on the holiday having a good time, just using the pool, whatever. I'm just like, all right, I'm putting this guy far away on a different floor, whatever. Of course, you know, I go home for my shift. I come back. It's Christmas Eve. And my wife and I are waiting around for our night auditor to come in, who are perpetually late night auditor, I might add.
Oh, that one?
Yes, that one. I won't say names. But
we can just call her Bitch One.
So we're waiting around, and the security guard comes in. I'm like... He's like, hey, he goes, so I kicked your friend out the other night. I'm like, what? What friend? Like, I have no idea what you're talking about. He goes, yeah, your buddy who got the hooker. We had to kick him out. I'm like, oh, yeah. So what happened with that? So he tells me that, yes, he got ridiculously loud. They went to get his attention in the room. They heard him flush the toilet at least three or four times before he actually answered the door. And in the process of kicking him out, the prostitute he got took his car keys and stole his pickup.
That's ballsy. Not only are you a prostitute and that's a crime in itself, now you're doing Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. And the best,
that is awesome.
But the best part is he came back and asked for his money. He asked for his money back like that morning. And the front desk manager at the time was actually the general manager of the hotel we met at. So when he came back, he goes, can I get my money back for the room? He's like, no, go the hell away.
Are we talking about the, oh dear, manager?
No. No, the general manager we had at the hotel that we met, not the regional manager.
Oh, God. Yeah, you mean God?
No, he was not getting his money back. That was the best part. I couldn't believe he actually had the... Well, I guess, you know, he got a prostitute who had the balls to steal his truck. I guess he'd have the balls to come back and try to get his money back for his stay. That he got kicked out of by the police anyway, so. Yeah, and here's the thing. Like, everybody listening, like, we tell these stories because they're really funny, but, like, hotel front desk job really isn't that bad of a gig. You gotta get through the complaints, but, And if you work at some hotels, you got to deal with a lot of other stuff too. But for the most part, it's actually a pretty fun job. And like when you do meet really cool people, it's really fun to talk to them. Like I've met people from all kinds of different countries and every state. And I know you've even got more experience with that because you actually used to work out west.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. The Grand Canyon, dude. That place was a trip and a half just to like look back on. I mean, so when you work at the Grand Canyon, because it's pretty isolated, the closest town is, well, technically Williams, but there's not shit to do there. So the closest real town is Flagstaff, which is almost like 2 hours away. You have to live there in like employee dorms. And I had to live with people who are like from Taiwan, the Ukraine, people from the reservation, like 5 hours away. Not to mention like you have to deal with guests, you know, this is even crazier because like, you would deal with thousands of guests a day from all over the world coming to see the natural hole in the ground. Surprisingly, what shocked me the most was how trustworthy people from Japan were. Like, they would pay cash for whatever, and they don't know the currency, like, that well. So you'd be like, for example, oh, this T-shirt's $25, and they would lay out, like, $500 in front of you and just point to it, like, take whatever you need to. It was crazy. And then you also had – and then you met the stupid fuckers. And most of the time they were American, not going to lie. Where – so the Grand Canyon, it's a beautiful place, but it is something that needs to be respected. It is a dangerous place if you are not careful. And I would have parents – so pretty much the rule of thumb is if you hike like 2 hours down, it's going to take 4 hours to get back up. And it's about 20 to 30 degrees hotter in the canyon than it is at the rim.
Right.
So especially in the summertime, it's like 90 degrees at the rim where we were. And they'd come up to me like, hey, so like I'm going to take my kid down into the canyon. And I would sit there like, okay, that's probably not a good idea. And like, oh, we're going to bring water. I was like, that's still not a good idea. Your kid looks like he's 5 years old. I doubt he can even handle that kind of a walk, and he will probably die of dehydration. Because especially out west, it's a dry heat. You don't really realize how much water you're losing.
Right, because I've been to Las Vegas in the Grand Canyon in August. So
yeah. So yeah, you know
Death Valley, when it was 121 degrees in Death Valley. I remember that. And I remember what it felt like, you know? And yeah, like... I might prefer that to the swamp ass I got living in Florida when I worked at Disney for 6 years, but man, I can't even imagine 121 degrees, like what that's actually doing to you in the long term, because fortunately I was never out there long enough to get any long-term ramifications from that, so I can't even imagine what you had to deal with.
Well, dude, it's funny you mentioned you've been to Death Valley, because I'm pretty sure you knew I worked there for a little bit, too.
Right, and I also know you worked at Yellowstone.
Yeah.
Which I think is the coolest. That's a huge bucket list item for me, is to visit Yellowstone National Park. And I want to go in the summer, and I also want to see it in the winter, too.
So, Yellowstone's cool. I think the visit to work there was fucking terrible. mainly because the company that I worked for, they do not have their shit together out there. But it's like one of those companies where you'll find them in every national park, but they have like kind of like a regional... manager for each one, so depending on, you know, the manager of each location will greatly affect your experience there.
I can't relate to that at all.
Right. But it got to the point out in Yellowstone where it was like,
god, it's Disney all over again. You're giving me flashbacks right now. I'm thinking of...
but yeah, like it was so poorly run there, and everybody was so miserable, because like working in the national parks, it's like a season commitment, you know, like summer or the fall, whatever they hire you on for. It was so miserable. Like the first 2 weeks, like everybody was having fun going out exploring and everything. So it was so miserable that everyone, including myself, was spending their whole paycheck going to the employee bar and is getting as fucked up as possible just to forget all the bullshit we were going through.
Yeah, that's no fun.
Yeah. And then Death Valley, I still think the craziest person I ever met at Death Valley was the HR lady that, like, did my orientation or whatever. It was my first day there. Like, I got there at nighttime, and nighttime out there is beautiful. You know, there's no sun. It's perfect weather. I woke up the next morning, and we opened the door. I was traveling with a friend I met at the Grand Canyon. And it was, like, 130 degrees, and we got hit by this wave. So you know what I mean, though, like that initial hit you get from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So first of all, we are lost in this blazing heat trying to get to this HR office. We finally get there, and the HR lady is wearing jeans and a sweatshirt.
Wow.
And she saw the look on my face. She's like, oh, no, I grew up here. Like, so like I'm used to this. And my first initial reaction was, what kind of fucking terrible parents did you have? And second of all, why the fuck didn't you leave? Like, fuck this. Like, I was so excited to get out of there. It was not... So we got to leave early because the friend I was traveling with purposely got fired so we could leave.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's bad.
Especially because, like... Because, like, I was a cook there, and, like, you know, most people, like, kitchens are hot as fuck, like, you go outside on your break to get relief from the heat. No, It was so hot outside that we would just stay in the kitchen because it was cooler inside than outside.
Ugh. Ugh. Yeah. That's miserable, yeah. Oh, man.
But it was an experience, though.
Well, you're actually a pretty well-traveled person. You've been across the country and back.
Oh, yeah. I love traveling. I definitely want to get back to that. The only time I'm truly happy is when I'm on the road. Like, my thing is I hate staying in one place for too long, I've realized.
Right, so you're the explorer type. Well, I think that's pretty cool. You know, you should just buy a an RV or like a VW van or something.
Dude, I would love a VW hippie van, man.
Just traveling about the country.
Make that a Cheech and Chong van.
And blast your Alice in Chains.
I know, dude. That would be like the funniest thing to see. Like, I would totally like wear a Cheech and Chong getup. I would like deck it out all psychedelic looking, and then blast Alice in Chains.
They're thinking you're gonna pull up playing Fish or something, and you get them with Alice in Chains. Yes, that was a fun thing I enjoyed about working with you. Is we had a lot of like-minded interests, so it was very easy to chat with you about the metal scene and of course your hero Chris Cornell, which recently passed on.
Yeah, that was dude, I did not fucking believe that when I woke up that morning. I thought it was all fucking lie.
Yeah. In fact, I remember specifically I was just talking to my friend Jason Shin on the last episode we recorded. He does a music podcast now, and he's actually been focusing a lot on Chris Cornell and like the impact that he had, because he has such like a deep connection just to Audioslave in general.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know you've I know Alice in Chains is always your big sound, and you and I have had a lot of conversations about bands and like who's got the best sound. And I know you also believe that, I think you said Cornell was, in your opinion, the best from the grunge era. I think we had that conversation, right?
Yeah, it was. So yeah, it's, to me, Chris Cornell like had the best. Okay, so first of all, before any of this, any of you who say Kurt Cobain and Nirvana were like the best grunge whatever, fuck you. No, they weren't. Just fuck off. You have no fucking clue what you're talking about. Chris Cornell had arguably one of the greatest rock voices of all time. And people who are like, oh, Kurt Cobain is like the voice of that whole movement, blah, blah, blah. That's great and all, but stop considering him one of the best singers, because he wasn't even the fucking best in his own goddamn genre. So suck a dick. Sorry, like I fucking hate, especially like, okay, so it happened the other day, like there's this girl wearing a Nirvana shirt at a local store. So I was like, oh cool. So I tried striking up a conversation with her, and god damn it, I was like, yeah, what was your favorite Nirvana record? You know, obviously there's only three to pick from. But she was like, oh, you know, the Nevermind album. Go fucking figure. I was like, oh whatever. I was like, what's your favorite song off it? Oh, Smells Like Teen Spirit. I was like, you motherfucker. Like, first of all, Smells Like Teen Spirit, one of the most overrated songs of all time. Nevermind is not even their best album, in my opinion. It's In Utero. Their best song, arguably, is either Rape Me or In Bloom. And she clearly had no fucking clue what she was talking about. Then I tried bringing up Dave Grohl, and she was like, oh, yeah. I think it's great he really started off his music career with the Foo Fighters. They're so great. Oh, and I've never thought about jerking myself to Jesus so much than I did in that moment.
The thing is, I can almost see you twitching, like, just having to tell that story.
God, fuck. Anyway, back to the original comment.
I thought we were going to segue to how Dave Grohl is a god.
Oh, well, we'll get to that. But first of all, Chris Cornell, to me, is my favorite rock singer of all time. I mean, just the way he wails, his vocal range. And another crazy thing about Chris Cornell, I've realized that there are some people that I'm friends with who are like huge Soundgarden fans that didn't realize Chris Cornell was also, you know, Audioslave, Temple of the Dog, and didn't even realize he had his own solo career.
See, I think which that's to me funny is crazy, because my initial discovery of Chris Cornell, like, and really figuring out who he was that he was the guy from Audioslave. That was a big introduction for me.
Yeah, I would say that was actually the first I ever, like, to me, like, I heard Soundgarden first, but I figured out who Chris Cornell was because of
Audioslave. Exactly.
And to me, Chris Cornell, like, and this is what, like, really pisses me off about the whole Nirvana thing. Like, don't get me wrong, I like their music and all that, but vocal-wise...
Yeah, this is a Nirvana burial here. Like, we are Nirvana fans, we just have a different viewpoint on them.
Yeah, but fuck you anyway. But first of all, vocal-wise, Chris Cornell, in my opinion, blew every other grunge singer out of the water. And even if we're not, like, I don't even think Soundgarden was the best band either in the grunge era. I hate throwing them in it, but Alice in Chains to me was, even though they were definitely more borderline metal than anything, they had a lot of, you know, Black Sabbath influence to them. But, like, to me, it's, I think Nirvana had the biggest impact, which is horse shit, because you had bands like Alice in Chains and Soundgarden out there. But to me, Soundgarden, I think, was the true definition of a grunge band. You know, like, Nirvana, like, obviously, if you compare it to today's music, especially if there are young kids watching this, which, by the way, if you're young, why the fuck are you listening to this?
I don't think I have young kids listening to this podcast, and I certainly hope I don't.
Okay, good. But, like, Nirvana, for its genre and time period, they had very poppy choruses. Yeah, I mean, if you think about, like, Smells Like Teen Spirit, for example, yeah, it doesn't sound poppy compared to today's music, but for that genre, that was a very poppy chorus, and a lot of their choruses were like that. And to me, that is not what grunge was about. You know, to me, Soundgarden had the definition of, like, the perfect grunge sound. And again, I know that's my opinion, and for all of you who think otherwise, you're fucking idiots, but...
I like how it's your opinion, but then everyone else is an idiot.
Yeah.
Well, this is the guest that I chose, ladies and gentlemen.
But again, to me, like I said, like, Soundgarden was the perfect grunge band. Like, it's just, I mean, yeah, there was Mudhoney and all that, and I think Mudhoney was incredible. But, like, Soundgarden to me was, like, the first true amazing grunge band. You know?
Gotcha, man. Yeah. And, all right, opinion of Pearl Jam.
Okay, so Pearl Jam, I'm not a huge fan of them. That being said, I still respect what they've done. Obviously, their album 10 is arguably one of the best, if not the best, grunge albums of all time. I don't know why people think that, but I respect it.
well, I think
but
that.
But to me... So. Okay, well, that's all right. You're my friend. I'll let you go.
Thanks, buddy.
But probably, I don't know. Yeah, whatever. But to me, like, I don't think Pearl Jam, like, to me, when I think of the whole grunge movement, there's a certain attitude, a certain sound. And to me, I don't think Pearl Jam truly embodied it. I think I would have probably liked Pearl Jam more had they not been grouped in with them, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Because, like, for example, like, what's a good... Okay, so, like, for example, like, I had a friend one time tell me that they think, like, Shinedown was, like, a metal band. Okay, they're clearly not. You know, they're a hard rock band. They're not metal.
No, I agree with that.
But if, like, the first thing if someone told me, like, you need to listen to this awesome metal band, they're called Shinedown, and they played me one of their songs, I would be extremely disappointed because I'm like, this is not what I'm expecting to hear. You know what I mean?
You're expecting, like, a Metallica or Megadeth sound. Yeah, or
exactly.
Motorhead.
So to me, I think Pearl Jam was lumped in the wrong category.
I would agree with that.
I think Pearl Jam kind of like the Red Hot Chili Peppers, honestly, but, like, you know, obviously different scene, different, you know, part of the country and all that. I think Pearl Jam, for their time and their location, they were, like, they had their own style of music that most people did not replicate, kind of like how the Red Hot Chili Peppers came out. You know, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, they kind of, it's like, yeah, you can call them funk rock, you can call them all different shit, but, like, in the grand scheme of things, it's their sound. You know what I mean?
And they do have a very unique sound. They always have.
Exactly. And I still, like, don't get me wrong, I love Pearl Jam lead singer's voice. I do. But again, when I first heard Pearl Jam, like, oh, they're in the big four of grunge, to me, it's like, just, you were leading me on to think it was going to be something different than what it was.
Hey, fair enough, man. But you've always been passionate about your grunge music. That was a big conversation we had when we, like, I was like, I need to get to know this Jonah character that's going to be working for me.
Yeah, man, it's and again, Alice in Chains, dude, to me, the greatest band of all time. And I know most people don't think that, but...
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Best Alice in Chains songs, a top five.
Top five? All right. Do I need to do them in order or just...
You can just give me five.
Okay. First one that pops into my head is definitely Down in a Hole.
Okay.
I absolutely...
Down in a hole. I'm like singing it in my head now.
When you listen to that song at very loud volumes, the power you hear coming out of his voice in the chorus, it's almost like he's transferring his pain into you. And I've always been blown away by that, though. You know, I'd say my other four, Nutshell for sure. That is like one of the most depressing songs I think I've ever heard. Just the whole sound quality of it and everything. And I love the fact that it was an acoustic song, too, coming from a band like Alice in Chains.
Okay.
Let's see here. I'm a huge fan. All right, I am going to stray away, like, into the new era of Alice in Chains for this next one. Like, you know, when Will Duvall took over. I love their song, Check My Brain, off their Black
Widow album. That's a great song, yeah.
That song. I'm not going to lie, like, when I blare that song driving, I feel like a total badass. I'm not going to lie. I just love that song a lot. Wood, I mean, obviously, that song.
Well, you know that's my favorite Alice in Chains song.
Yeah, I mean, Wood, dude, that song, fucking incredible.
I remember I was actually visiting friends. This is when I was still living in Florida, but we had come up. We were visiting some friends. We went out to eat, and they had a karaoke night. And, of course, you know, everybody's doing your typical karaoke songs. And then my buddy Andy, who used to play drums in a metal band, gets up and does Wood.
Yeah.
I hear the guitar start. I'm like, oh, my God, he's going to karaoke Alice in Chains. And he killed it, dude. He killed it. And the best part was, like, he sings the chorus. He comes back to the table and just goes, fuck yeah. And, like, just goes right back to it.
That was awesome.
That was always a good one. What about I Stay Away?
I like that song, but it's definitely not a top five for me. I do really enjoy that song, though.
Okay, fair enough. That's one of my other favorite songs by them.
I'm torn. Can I have, like, a tie for number five?
Sure.
Okay, so the tie definitely is between Rain When I Die, off the Dirt album, and Sludge Factory.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, those would definitely be a tie for, like, my fifth and sixth. It's one of those, like, I love them both so much, but I like one more than the other depending on any given day.
Gotcha. And then, of course, I have to throw this out there, and not just because Tommy Dreamer used this as his entrance music, but, like, Man in the Box.
Oh, yeah.
Man in the Box was the song that made me discover Alice in Chains. So that... In the same respect that, like, while I understand everything you said about Smells Like Teen Spirit, that was the song that made me discover Nirvana. So even if it's not the best, you always kind of hold on to it.
I respect that. I understand
same with
that a
like,
lot, actually.
One of my favorite bands of all time is Metallica, and the song that made me discover them was, in fact, Enter Sandman. So, like, and I know a lot of people that feel like that's a very overrated song of theirs. And I can see where they're coming from, because I do feel like that song gets a lot more attention than a lot of their other stuff does that would deserve it way more. But, again, it holds that place in my heart, because it was one of four Metallica songs that, and I credit my sister for this one, because she made me a mixtape, because this is showing my age a little bit here. She's like, hey, I'm going to make you a mixtape of music that I like and enjoy it. And there were at least four Metallica songs on there. If I remember correctly, it was Fuel. It was Fuel, Sad But True, Enter Sandman, and there were five. For Whom the Bell Tolls, and then the last one was it was off their S&M album. It was No Leaf Clover.
Gotcha.
So those are the five. Like, and now, if I went back and did Metallica rankings, I'm not even sure if they would all make even the top 10, but I would certainly consider them. So I get it. You got to stick with the... No, go ahead.
I'll say, that's how I am actually with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Like, the first song I ever heard by them was Danny California. And I don't get me wrong, I think that's a great song, but that's what got me to listen to them. And you're right, I don't even know if I would put that in my top 10 at this point.
I would agree with that, yeah. And I do like that song, too. Alrighty. Well, we are getting close to wrapping up here, but I have one question I have to ask you. And there's no way I can let this podcast end without asking you this very critical question.
Okay.
Jonah Moore, please give me your very honest opinion on pop music.
All right, you know what? Let me tell you something. These motherfuckers at Atlantic, you know, all these fucking – I can't even think of other record labels at this time for some reason, but fucking Atlantic and all them, they are force-feeding this goddamn bullshit to you through the fucking radio. It's mindless music. You are not listening to cultured music. The fucking believers of the world all need to be fucking shot because you are taking – they literally all the best music that you can hear – like, I really like listening to the Black Foxes right now. They're this new band that came out. They write very introspective, you know, music about addiction, depression, and all this. But it will always take a backseat to pop music because apparently in the times we live in, nobody wants to hear music that actually means something or, you know, music that artists give a damn about. You got people like Justin Bieber, the fucking Miley Cyruses, the Taylor Swifts of the world – all pretty much singing about the same ass bullshit, and half of them don't even write their own fucking music, and they think they're so entitled and that they're these true artists when all they are is really a face to the whole pop genre. Like, that's part of the reason why I love the grunge music and their whole movement so much, because they did not want that. They wanted their music to be heard for what it was, because it had meaning to it, no matter how depressing or disturbing it may have been. It gave you a light onto what the fuck was going on in the times. And that's part of the reason why people don't understand different perspectives on things, because they do not want to hear the God-honest truth, whether it's through music, the media, fucking Facebook, and fuck all you people who just retweet shit and all that bullshit just because of the headline, you uneducated motherfuckers. And you're doing the same thing with your fucking music, and it pisses me the fuck off. Okay, well, rant's done.
Well said. Okay. All right, guys. Well, I want to thank Jonah for joining me on this edition of Jersey Rain, episode 13, very appropriately.
Oh, and a quick side note for all of you who somehow do not hate me after this, WordPress, The Godless Prince. You'll enjoy it.
I was actually just about to plug that for you. Yes, check the links in the description, and you will find a link to Jonah's blog. He also interviews me. I give my my opinions of music, and the commentary track he added after that was terrific, because all you sent me were the questions. I didn't know there was going to be added commentary, so I really enjoyed reading that back.
Yeah, no, I did. Funny enough, I did that to my friend Tyler, actually, recently. He's like a kid I grew up with in high school, and he's, you know, trying to become a rapper, and he makes pretty good music, and I did the same thing to him, and I didn't tell him that I was going to be doing, like, a write-back to his stuff. And all I sent him through Facebook was like, all right, your article's up with some added comments to it. And he was like, wait, what?
And then you go back and read, you're like, oh, well, damn.
Yep.
Especially when I tried to do, like, a nice answer to the pop question. And, oh, man. And then your commentary kicked in.
Yeah, folks, for his little, if you read that where I interviewed him and you read his, like, somewhat nice blog post about the fucking pop music, my little rant is how he truly feels.
I'm not even going to try to deny that.
And for you people who listen to pop, I will beat you with a bag of dildos.
That is Jonah, ladies and gentlemen. So, we'll have to have you back for another fun-filled adult episode of this show.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. This is shit.
I'm going to be putting disclaimers all over this one.
Oh, hell yeah. You need to at least put an 18 plus on that, too.
Yeah. Yes. So I should put it at the end of the episode. That would be the best part.
Oh, no. I got the best thing for the end of this episode. Rachel, my sister, if you're listening to this, I lost my virginity to your best friend in high school.
And there you have it, guys. Jonah Moore. I told you that was going to be a trip. So, Jonah's sister, if you're listening, I hope that was a fun little revelation for you. And I do apologize for the little piss break he took there, but again, for those of you guys who listen to Club Kayfabe Wrestle Talk, yeah, at least he didn't go it out the window, I suppose. It is what it is. So thank you guys for tuning in. Please check us out at the Club Kayfabe Creative Community, ckcconline.com. And while the website's being built, please give us a like on Facebook, a follow on Twitter, and we're going to keep giving you more great content just like this show. Shout out again to my buddy Adrian Cotton for the awesome intro that you heard at the beginning. And shout out to everybody listening to this episode and who will listen to these episodes in the future. Please keep supporting us. That's why we do what we do. Thank you guys for tuning in. We will see you next time for another great interview here on the Jersey Rain Hour.